Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. I am your host, Christopher. During our program, please join us in our chat rooms where you can comment, ask questions, or discuss our program. You will find that on blogtalkradio.com/hallelujah-pete. You may also email us your questions at hallelujahpete@gmail.com. You may also send a text message to us with your questions or comments to area code 567-259-6043. Also, like us on our Facebook page, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Happy Monday, everybody. And once again, I say unto you, my precious brothers and sisters listening out there, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And I also say, thank you, Jesus, for another lesson in Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E, the Bible. And there are so many versions for us to draw from, but all of our lessons and instructions will be taken this evening from the old King James Version of the Bible. And as I welcome you all to this episode tonight, I am still excited because tonight we will continue our study from the book of Proverbs. And you know that this wise book is full of verses that explain to us how we should act, both physically and spiritually in this world, to be better equipped this side of eternity to be successful in our Christian walk. And I highly suggest that you have your Bible sources open, your laptops, your tablets, your Bible apps, or your regular Bibles, and have your pens and pencils ready for taking notes. Now, another reminder, every 10 minutes or so, we will have a commercial break, during which time you may ask questions or comment or inquire if you like. The host has set up a chat room just for that purpose. Now, before we get started, I want to personally take this time, as I always do, to thank all of you who have taken the time to give me feedback on this particular show. The comments and the advice that you're giving me, my precious brothers and sisters, I'm using. So I thank you so much and continue to suggest them to me. Now, as our theme song for the show suggests, the question for this hour is, and it always will be, are you standing on the promises of God or Jesus Christ? God said through Isaiah the prophet, no weapon formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in the judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. That's taken from Isaiah chapter 54, verse 17. Now the promise, not only a promise, but it is the heritage of those who serve the Lord, that nothing that will confront you, you will not be able to overcome if you stay close to the Lord. God said again, this time through King David, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. That's taken from Psalms 119, verse 165. Again, the promise is great peace. And we're talking about the peace that passeth all understanding of God, not the peace of the world, not the peace of man, but the peace of God. And you can only get that if you hold to the law of God, and nothing will offend you. God said again through Moses, and it shall come to pass if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all of his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. My precious brothers and sisters, this is taken from Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1. So the promise is that you're going to be blessed and you shall be above those who are trying to bring you down if you listen and hearken unto the Lord God's voice. So again, the question for this hour is, are you standing on God's promises? Now, before we get started, as I always do, I want you to know, listen, my precious brothers and sisters, this is critical, that the Bible is written in code. That's right, meaning it's mysterious. It's written in secrets, in parables, in prophecies, in proverbs, in paradoxes, in riddles, and in symbols. And the only way to break this code is through study and learning. And that is what we're doing tonight. We're all about studying and learning together. That's why if you have a question or a comment, get in touch with me in the chat room and we can learn from each other. All right, so now let's go to the study. Turn your Bible sources with me to Proverbs chapter 14. We're going to look at several verses in Proverbs chapter 14. And what we want to do is keep in mind this instruction as I read the verses to you. We're taking another look at righteousness and wickedness. Now, we know that Solomon gave a lot of advice, a lot of wise understanding. And he dialogued with, or he wrote a lot about righteousness and judgment. And this is what he said in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 2. He that walketh in uprightness feareth the Lord, but he that is perverse in his ways despiseth him. So fear the Lord is righteousness. Not fearing the Lord is wickedness. In verse 9, he continues, fools make a mock at sin, but among the righteous there is favor. Listen, my brothers and sisters, foolishness could care less about godliness, but righteousness does focus on godliness. Verse 11 and 12 continues, the house of the wicked shall be overthrown, but the tabernacle of the upright shall flourish. That tells you that righteousness stands, wickedness fails. Verse 12 gives us a better understanding. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. That's so significant that we're talking about the righteousness of God, not the righteousness of man, not the righteousness of the world, but the righteousness of God is what will guide us away from death. Verse 17 continues, he that is soon angry dealeth foolishly, and a man of wicked devices is hated. That is a key to understanding. Anger does not fit in righteousness. Be careful, my precious brothers and sisters, about that, because, of course, we know that we all are subjected to anger. Verse 19 continues, the evil bow before the good, and the wicked at the gates of the righteous. We, those who are righteous, will always get the favor of the people. Verse 32 continues the thought. Verse 32 says, the wicked is driven away in his wickedness, but the righteous have hope in his death. The wicked will not be saved. The righteous will be saved. And verse 34 completes the thought. Righteousness exalted a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And we can see that happening in our world today, my precious brothers and sisters. Now let's amplify this. We're going to go to the book of Job, and Job is going to add to the understanding of this. Job chapter 12. Turn your sources with me to Job chapter 12, and we're going to look at verse 1 through 4. Job chapter 12, verse 1 through 4. And listen to what Job says about righteousness and wickedness. He says, and Job answered and said, no doubt. And I can see that we're at our first break. Let's take our first break, then we'll continue with the lesson.
And what's the best piece of advice that you have ever been given?
Oh, that's a really, really good question. I would say the best piece of advice would be formed around the idea of this is not our home. You know, Philippians tells us that we're citizens of heaven. Heaven is our ultimate home. So why spend a life building up for a place that we're going to leave? But I would rather spend a life building up for the place that we're going to go to, right? So all my stuff, I want it to be there. There's no U-Haul behind the hearse, you know? So guess what? We can't take it with us. So you know what? I would rather spend a life of building up there, building God's kingdom, sharing the good news of the gospel, spending a life built on eternity, the things that are going to last forever. And in my opinion, the things that are going to last forever from this earth are God, His Word, people, and rewards. And so we better spend a life focused on things that are going to last for eternity. When I'm spending time with God, that's going to last for eternity. When I'm His Word is going to last for eternity. When we're loving, helping, caring, serving people, that's going to last for eternity. And what we do for Him and the rewards, that's going to last for eternity. The Bible's clear in so many different ways, and I think the greatest form of a reward is hopefully that moment where we get a well done, my good and faithful servant, but I think it's going to be just so much more intimate than that. That would be the best piece of advice, kind of all summed up into one, is let's live for our ultimate home, not just our temporary home.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, we're looking at righteousness and wickedness. And this is what Job had to say about this to his cohorts, Bildad, Zophar, and Eliphaz, when he was confronted by them. And Job answered and said, "No doubt, but you are the people, and wisdom shall die with you. But I have understanding as well as you. I am not inferior to you, yea, who knoweth not such things as these? I am as one mocked of his neighbor, who calleth upon God, and he answereth him, and the just upright man is laughed to scorn." And this is what happens when you're in the world, that your righteousness will be laughed to scorn, just like Job in front of his friends. What happened to Job? They were confronting Job that he must have done something wrong to God in order to be in the condition he was in. So that shows us that righteousness and wickedness collides. That's the thing that we need to know from this. And now let's go and compare and agree. We're going to go to 1 Timothy. We're going to go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. And verse 17, and listen to how Paul gave this understanding to Timothy, which covers both righteousness and wickedness. This is what Paul says. "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness," not in wickedness, my brothers and sisters, "but in righteousness, the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." So you can see where Paul is saying that all scripture that comes from God is inspired to righteousness, not inspired to wickedness. And so that is how we can tell the difference between the wolf in sheep's clothing, the false prophet, and those who are trying to deter you or direct you differently from being righteous. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that the parameters of human life are between righteousness and judgment. That's wickedness. And God rewards each of us accordingly. So the judgment is going to give wickedness its just due. Righteousness will be rewarded, of course. So that's what I want you to get from this, that we are caught between righteousness and judgment, and that is our Alpha and Omega. Let's go to the next instruction. Let's go back to Proverbs chapter 14. We're going to get another instruction from Proverbs chapter 14. And this time, this is the instruction that I want you to keep in mind as I read the various verses to you. We're looking at foolishness destroys. So foolishness is not necessarily wickedness, but it will destroy you also. That is what's key. Foolishness destroys. And this is what Proverbs 14 has to say, verse 1. Every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. So you can see that when you're wise, you're going to build your house according to godliness. But if you're unwise, you're going to pluck at it because of vanity, and it's going to fall. Verse 3 continues. In the mouth of the foolish is a rod of pride, but the lips of the wise shall preserve them. Again, vanity of vanities, Solomon says, okay? And that's in Ecclesiastes. And this is telling you, a foolish mouth is going to be vain. We're going to go now to verse 7 and 8 to continue the thought. Go from the presence of a foolish man, when thou perceivest not in him the lips of knowledge. We do not want to get caught up in foolishness. It's like getting caught up in mob psychology. You will go with the flow, whether good, bad, or indifferent. Verse 8 says, the wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, but the folly of fools is deceit. And that's how you know the difference between the right and the wrong, because foolishness will go down the wrong path easily. Verse 16 continues, a wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but the foolish rageth and is confident. Again, if you do not have the fear of the Lord, if you have no scruples, then you are foolish. Verse 17 continues, he that is soon angry dealeth foolishly, and a man of wicked devices is hated. So we know that anger is open to foolishness and wickedness, and that's where angry comes into play. We should not, we should fight against that with righteousness. Let's go to verse 24 to continue the thought. It says, the crown of the wise is their riches, but the foolishness of fools is folly, and we know the difference. We won't be embarrassed being wise. We will be embarrassed being foolish. Verse 29 continues, he that is slow to wrath is of great understanding, but he that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly. So again, it tells us that anger has no part of righteousness. It has all the part of wickedness and foolishness. And verse 33 completes the thought, the king's favor is towards a wise servant, but his wrath is against him that causes shame. So you want to have the king's favor, you must be righteous. Now we're going to go to Psalms 38 to exemplify this thought. Psalms 38 is where King David tells us, or tells Israel about righteous, about foolishness this way, in verse 4 through 9, chapter 38. And this is what it says. For my iniquities are gone over my head as a heavy burden. They are too heavy for me. My wounds stink and are corrupt because of my foolishness. I am troubled. I am bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day long, for my loins are filled with a loathsome disease, and there is no soundness in my flesh. I am feeble and sore broken. I have roared by reason of the disquietness of my heart. Lord, all my desire is before thee, and my groaning is not hid from thee. What David is saying, because of his foolishness, my brothers and sisters, because of your foolishness, you will experience exactly what David dictated to Israel at that time in this psalm. And now let's go to compare and agree. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 4, or chapter 7, Matthew chapter 7, and let's hear what Jesus has to say about this today. This is critical, my precious brothers and sisters. Hear me. If you don't hear anything else, listen to what Jesus said about foolishness. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and does them, I liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the wind blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and does not do them, I liken him unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand, and the rains descended, and the floods came, and the wind blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it." My brothers and sisters, you build your house on a rock. That's righteousness, not on foolishness. That's stupidity. It will be destroyed. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that the parameters, that we are all fools for something and for somebody. But Christ's fools receive eternal life. Man's fools receive eternal death. That's what I want you to understand. We are all foolish for something. But let us be fools for Christ and not fools for man or the world. Okay. We're at the second break. Let us take another break and then we'll continue with the lesson.
It felt like I had a shadow of heaviness and a shadow of darkness over me that never left. Felt like I was expecting something bad to happen to me no matter where I went. No matter what I did, I expected something bad to happen. It definitely started sophomore year of high school. Fear and anxiety, panic attack, depression, like you name it, I had it. I was still trying to go to school, but every day it was just, I couldn't take it. I would try to, get out of class as much as I can because of panic attacks. So then finally, I was able to ask my mom if I could be homeschooled, and then she said, yeah. So now that I'm homeschooled, I kind of shielded myself in the house. I basically drowned myself out with video games, so I didn't have to think about my problems anymore. So I was playing video games from sun up till whenever, and then as I'm trying to go to sleep, I can't really sleep. So I would worry myself all night for no reason, and then I would end up throwing up. It was like I was in a, in prison in my own head, and I couldn't get out of it because I couldn't even leave my house. I couldn't even go a block away from my house without panic attacks and trying to get the driver to turn around and bring me back home. I just couldn't leave. And then, so it got so bad where I just finally went back to my mom and told her I couldn't take it anymore. And then she said, you got two options. You can either give it to God and let him take care of it, or you can go to the doctors and we'll get you on medication. And I didn't want to get on medication, so I said, if I didn't have to, I might as well try the other option. That's what I did. I started to read the word as much as I could. And when I came to church, I started to really try to pay attention instead of just sitting there. And it was like pastor was speaking to me, all the time. It was like his word was for me. That would draw me to come back more, which, led me to meet Pastor Austin. And he encouraged me to come to youth, which I did. So now coming to youth and experiencing seeing kids my age, the way how they're having fun and they aren't worried about anything and how I'm basically supposed to be living. So that was encouraging, and then it all started to change when I got involved as much as I can. Even though I didn't want to, because obviously the enemy tried to keep me away from it, I would push myself. I would push myself to get involved where I could be around the right people, and I felt good. Once you came and did it, you felt good. You felt accomplished, and so it made me even feel better. And so getting involved, volunteering at any event I could, women's conference, I've volunteered in youth as much, now Rev Night as much as I can, really helped me in that process. So back then it felt like I had a heaviness over me that I couldn't shake. It felt like I was in darkness every day, all day, until I was able to actually come to God, give it all to him, and it was like a light switch to where now I'm not in this dark place anymore. I'm headed toward a light that's never ending, it's always shining on you. So I just want to thank Pastor David, Pastor Nicole, Pastor Austin and the whole Faith Church community for helping me through the time of need and being so caring and loving when I needed them to be.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, let's get back to the lesson. We're going to go back to Proverbs, this time chapter 15. And remember I told you that David gave a lot of information on righteousness and wickedness and judgment. And here's another look at righteousness and wickedness in chapter 15. I'm going to give you some verses, and that's what I want you to keep in mind. We're talking about righteousness and wickedness. And this is what he says in chapter 15, or verse 6. David says, in the house of the righteous is much treasure, but in the revenues of the wicked is trouble. And we know that that is so true, that the righteous will handle money better than the wicked will handle money. Verse 8 continues, the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. So that is what we should take from this verse. God hates. Abomination means hates. God hates wickedness. Verse 9 continues, the way of the wicked is an abomination unto the Lord, but he loveth him that followeth after righteousness. So if you're following Jehovah God, know this to be a truth, that God does not accept wickedness. Verse 19 continues, the way of the slothful man is a hedge of thorns, but the way of the righteous is made plain. And so we're talking about slothful, and we're talking about lazy, and we're talking about lazy not against man. We're talking about lazy against God. Because you can be a prayer warrior. You could be a laborer in the Lord's vineyard consistently and not do anything in the world and still be favored with God. So understand what slothful means. That is slothful towards godliness. That means slothfulness against righteousness. And that's what he's talking about. Now let's look at verse 21 to continue. Folly is joy to him that is destitute of wisdom, but a man of understanding walketh uprightly. And so we're talking about the wisdom of God. We're not talking about the wisdom of man. We're not talking about the wisdom of the world. We're talking about the wisdom of God. My brothers and sisters, there's a difference. And this is what David is talking about when he says destitute of wisdom. He's not talking about of God. He's talking about of man. And that's what gets you into trouble. And so we're going to go now to verse 26. The thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord, but the words of the pure are pleasant words. And that is, again, righteousness versus wickedness. And we know abomination is wickedness. Verse 28 continues, the heart of the righteous studieth to answer, but the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things. So all of these lessons and verses are identified in wickedness against God and righteousness towards God. Righteousness towards God is the only pleasing approach to God. And verse 29 gives us the completion of the thought. The Lord is far from the wicked, but he heareth the prayers of the righteous. You hear that, my brothers and sisters? You want your prayers answered? You need to be righteous towards God. And now we're going to look at what Jeremiah had to say about that. Just to amplify it, turn with me, if you will, to Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 25 through 31. Listen to what the prophet Jeremiah had to say concerning righteousness and wickedness. Go not forth into the field, nor walk by the way, for the sword of the enemy and fear is on every side. O daughter of my people, girt thee with staff cloth and wallow thyself in ashes. Make thee mourning as for an only son, most bitter lamentation, for the spoiler shall suddenly come upon us. I have set thee for a tower and a fortress among my people, that thou mayest know and try their ways. They are all grievous revolters, walking with slanders, They are brass and iron. They are all corruptors. The bellows are burned. The lead is consumed of the fire. The founder melted in vain, for the wicked are not plucked away. Reprobate silver shall men call them, because the Lord hath rejected them. That is what happens to the wicked. And that is the key Jeremiah was talking about. Now let's go to Romans, and we're going to see how Paul talked about it in Romans chapter 14, verse 16 through 18. Romans chapter 14, verse 16 through 18. Listen to what Paul told the Romans. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. For the kingdom of God, it's not meat and drink, but it's righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he in these things serveth Christ, is acceptable to God and approved of by men. My brothers and sisters, you want to be acceptable to God and approved of by men and serve Jesus Christ? You must be righteous. That's part of the kingdom of God. Not wickedness, but righteousness. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that the bookends of our lives are lived between righteousness and wickedness. These are also the Alpha and Omega of our existence. You have to realize that as Jesus gave us parable about being the kingdom of God is like being caught in a net, and at the end, that which is within the net will be separated, the good from the bad. That is where we stand, my brothers and sisters. We stand in righteousness and wickedness. And we stand in righteousness and wickedness because of the knowledge of good and evil that was tainted in the garden because of the disobedience of Adam and Eve. And we have inherited that. So we're stuck with that. So we need to lean. We need to be righteous and not wicked. That's the key. That's what I want you to get from this instruction. Okay, let's go to the next instruction and turn back with me. We're going to be with, again, Proverbs chapter 15, and we're going to look at several verses in Proverbs chapter 15. And this is going to talk about, and this is the instruction that I want you to keep in mind as I read the verses to you, that ignorance is problematical. To us, my brothers and sisters, listen, you need to know that ignorance is no excuse. God does not accept ignorance as an excuse. It is a problem. It is like foolishness, even though it is not directly wickedness, it still tends to wickedness. Ignorance still tends to wickedness. We got to be very careful and understand that. So as I read these verses to you, keep in mind that ignorance of God is problematical. And this is how it starts off in Proverbs chapter 5, verse 2. It says, the tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. And I see that we're at the third break. Let's take that break, and then we'll come back and complete the lesson.
There are two types of Christians. There are those who think following God means we're immune to bad things. They have a perception that being a Christian isolates us from trouble. Then there are others who accept that the Word of God tells us that everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. In fact, it tells us that if the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated Jesus first. And these type of Christians take heed of his word and accept that difficulties and trouble will come, but at least they will face them with God. There are other Christians who look at a storm and say, God, make it stop. Make it go away. God, I don't like the rain. I don't like the pain. Then there are others who look at the same storm and say, order my steps, Lord. As I go through this storm, help me to grow. Help me to grow through this storm as I go through it. Some Christians pray and say, God, this is too hard. For others, they pray and say, God, give me the strength to bear this. Some will pray and say, Lord, I can't take much more of this. I can't withstand. Others will pray for supernatural powers to endure. One man will say, why me? But I can't do that. I don't have what it takes to. But another man will say, not my will, God, but your will. There are Christians that are halfway believers. They believe in God. They know the story of Jesus, but they don't walk with any power. But we are called to be Christians who believe in God, called to have a relationship with Jesus, and called to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. Be a Christian who says, even though I'm scared, even though I don't know how everything will turn out, if you send me, and if you're with me, I'll go. Be a Christian who will take on anything, knowing that God will get the glory. Just look at Paul. He was no stranger to difficulties and suffering. He is a man who was cast in prison, faced with the real possibility of death many times. He was beaten, shipwrecked, and in many uncomfortable situations. But he still said in 2 Corinthians, thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ. When God goes with you, you don't need all the answers. You don't need a blueprint. It may not be picture perfect, but I would rather do the will of God or have God on my side than be comfortable. Be a Christian with spiritual maturity. Be a Christian who lets God lead. Be a believer that walks in the power of the Holy Spirit.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, listen, ignorance is problematical. That is going to occur in our lives if we allow ourselves to be ignorant of the Word of God. And it's going to be problematical to us because it is unexcusable or inexcusable as far as God is concerned. Listen to what Solomon had to say to Israel about it in Proverbs chapter 15, verse 2. He says, the tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. Verse 5, a fool despiseth his father's instruction, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent. Verse 7, the lips of the wise disperse knowledge, but the heart of the foolish does not so. And we're getting, again, because ignorance, we're talking about wickedness and righteousness. The thing is that if we fall in between the two and ignorant of the fact, we're going to tend towards wickedness. And that's where we're going to fall flat and not be right with God. In verse 14 continues, it says, the heart of him that hath understanding seeketh knowledge, but the mouth of fools feedeth on foolishness. Verse 20 completes the thought. A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish man despises his mother. And so what Paul or what Solomon is telling them is that they're going to have problems if they are ignorant of the fact of being wise to being foolish. And that's where I'm trying to direct you. Now let's look at Deuteronomy, and this is what Moses told Israel in the book of Deuteronomy that is so significant about this particular piece about ignorance, and God is not going to forgive it. Listen to what Moses rehearsed to Israel in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 1 through 3 to begin with. This is what Moses said. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it. Now, I'm instructing you, Israel, and you cannot be ignorant of the fact. If you are, you're going to fall flat on your face. Verse 2 says, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son's sons, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged, There is no excuse if you do not do this. Hear, O Israel, therefore, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers had promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Now let's go to verse 7. Listen to what Moses continued to say. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. This is to quell ignorance. This is to support understanding. And verse 12 continues. Moses says, then be aware, lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. And if you are not diligent to keep in mind, ignorance is not going to protect you. This is what he's saying. Verse 15 continues, for the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee and destroy thee from off the face of the earth. And verse 18 and 19 concludes the thought by saying, and thou shalt do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest go in and possess the good land which the Lord swore unto thy fathers, to cast out them all thy enemies before thee, as the Lord had spoken. Now this is telling us that ignorance is not going to give you a reprieve, that God is going to punish you if you don't instruct and teach. And now let's go to Romans, and this is how Paul put it to the Romans, and it's more significant today because of what Paul said to the Romans. Listen, in Romans chapter 1, verse 18 through 20, listen to what Paul says. He's more explicit in the problematicalness of ignorance. Listen to what Paul said in verse 18 through 20. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God had showed it unto them. He has given us instructions, and we are to teach our children these instructions. Ignorance is not an excuse. Listen to what Paul said in verse 20. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that we are without excuse. My brothers and sisters, we have no excuse. Ignorance of the law, even in our secular world, is not an excuse for reprieve or for leniency. You still are going to be held accountable. And this is what I'm trying to say, and I want you to understand from this particular instruction. Be careful with your immaturity, because ignorance is a part of it, and it will cause you at the least embarrassment. When you're immature, you may be ignorant of the fact, but you got to be careful. If you stick your finger in that light switch and you were told don't do that, you will be electrocuted. You will be electrocuted, even if you are unaware that this is going to happen. That's what I want you to get from this instruction. Okay, let's go back to Proverbs. We're going to take another lesson from Proverbs. This time we're going to go to Proverbs 15 again. We're going to take another lesson out of Proverbs. This time we're going to look at one verse, and I want you to pay attention to this instruction as I read the one verse. The one verse, the fear of the Lord. My brothers and sisters, the fear of the Lord, we've already talked about it. That is going to bring about righteousness. Not fearing the Lord is going to bring about wickedness. As simple as that. We must have scruples in order to adhere to the righteousness of God. We must fear God. And if we don't fear God, then we will go against him. And that is foolishness. Listen to what it is read or said. Solomon is telling this to Israel in verse 33 of Proverbs 15. The fear of the Lord is the beginning or the instructions of wisdom, but before honor is humility. So that is what Solomon is saying, And let us go to Exodus. We're going to see how Moses gave specific instructions to Israel to tell us that the fear of the Lord is critical in our lives. Listen to what Moses told Israel in Exodus chapter 20, verse 18 through 20. Listen to what Moses said. Moses said this to Israel. And all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. They said unto Moses, speak thou with us, and we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die. And Moses said unto the people of Israel, fear not, for God is come to prove you, and that his fear may be before your faces, that ye sin not. So my precious brothers and sisters, the fear of the Lord, the bottom line, is not to sin. And I see we're at the next break. Let's take the next break, and then we'll continue with our lesson.
There are two types of Christian. There are those who think following God means we're immune to bad things. They have a perception that being a Christian isolates us from trouble. Then there are others who accept that the word of God tells us that everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. In fact, it tells us that if the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated Jesus first. And these type of Christians take heed of his word and accept that difficulties and trouble will come, but at least they will face them with God. There are other Christians who look at a storm and say, God, make it stop. Make it go away. God, I don't like the rain. I don't like the pain. Then there are others who look at the same storm and say, order my steps, Lord. As I go through this storm, help me to grow. Help me to grow through this storm as I go through it. Some Christians pray and say, God, this is too hard. For others, they pray and say, God, give me the strength to bear this. Some will pray and say, Lord, I can't take much more of this. I can't withstand. Others will pray for supernatural powers to endure. One man will say, why me? But I can't do that. I don't have what it takes to. But another man will say, not my will, God, but your will. There are Christians that are halfway believers. They believe in God. They know the story of Jesus, but they don't walk with any power. But we are called to be Christians who believe in God, called to have a relationship with Jesus, and called to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. Be a Christian who says, even though I'm scared, even though I don't know how everything will turn out, if you send me, and if you're with me, I'll go. Be a Christian who will take on anything, knowing that God will get the glory. Just look at Paul. He was no stranger to difficulties and suffering. He is a man who was cast in prison, faced with the real possibility of death many times. He was beaten, shipwrecked, and in many uncomfortable situations. But he still said in 2 Corinthians, thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ. When God goes with you, you don't need all the answers. You don't need a blueprint. It may not be picture perfect, but I would rather do the will of God or have God on my side than be comfortable. Be a Christian with spiritual maturity. Be a Christian who lets God lead. Be a believer that walks in the power of the Holy Spirit.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, we're on the instruction, the fear of the Lord. And we just read where Solomon, or I should say Moses, more explicitly identified the reason that we should fear the Lord. Solomon said in Exodus chapter 20, verse 20, he said, Moses. Moses said unto the people, fear not, for God is come to prove you, and that his fear may be before your faces, that ye sin not. So we know that the bottom line to the fear of the Lord is not to sin against God. Now, let's go to our New Testament complement. We're going to compare and agree. Turn your Bible sources with me to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12. And we're going to look at two verses, verse 28 and verse 29. And listen to what the Hebrew writer says about the fear of the Lord. He says, wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God and acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. My brothers and sisters, it's telling us that fire burns. And if we do not fear the Lord God Almighty, we will be burned. And I would say purged, if you will. And we're all going to be purged because we know that Jesus Christ said in Mark, I forget what chapter in Mark, but he said that all mankind, everyone, will be sacrificed with fire. And to me, that says that everyone is going to be purged, meaning burned with fire, because of sin. And in this instance, it tells us that we must fear the Lord as one of the recipes for not sinning, that our purging will not be prolonged. That is the way that I understand it. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that Solomon also said, fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. That should mean to us that the fear of God is essential to our being successful this side of eternity and the other side as well. The point is that if we fear God, we will keep his commandments. If we do not fear God, we will not keep his commandments. And Jesus, he touted this. He says in the Gospels that don't fear the one that can only kill the body, but you fear the one that can kill both body and soul in hellfire. That is what is instrumental for us to take away from this. You fear the Lord God, so you will not sin against him. And that's the bottom line. Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, let's go to the next instruction. The next instruction, we're going to go back to Proverbs. We're going to look at Proverbs 16 this time. We're going to look at verse 1 through 3, Proverbs 16, 1 through 3. And this is the instruction that I want you to keep in mind as I read the verses to you. All of the ways of man is clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirit. And this is similar to the fear of the Lord. You see, man in his own eyes can do very little wrong. And that is what we have come to realize even in our everyday life, that we are so many individuals and we go our own way and we conflict because we go our own way. So what Solomon says, that in our own eyes, we are right in ourselves, but God weighs the spirit. And even though there are many different types of flesh, and we know this from ethnicity and gender, there is only one spirit that's within the flesh. And that spirit is what weighs. And that's what Solomon is talking about. So listen to what he says in Proverbs 16, verse 1 through 3. Solomon says, the preparation of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All of the ways of man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirit. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. So that is what Solomon is saying, that man is going to go according to his own fleshly ways. But if you respond to godliness, then you will be responding correctly. Remember, Jesus put it on this way, on this wise, that God seeks those who worship him. The true worshipers worship God in spirit and in truth. The true worshipers don't go to a building necessarily and worship a statue or an idol. The true worshipers, they worship from the spirit. And that's the key. Now let's go to Jeremiah and see how Jeremiah put it. Jeremiah chapter 10. Jeremiah chapter 10 is going to give us another understanding of this. And listen to what Jeremiah chapter 10 says in verse 1 and 2. Jeremiah chapter 10 says this: Hear ye the word which the Lord speaketh unto you, O house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, Learn not the ways of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the heathen are dismayed at them. Again, we're talking about physical, those who don't believe in the Spirit of God. And he concludes with verse 23 and 24. He says, listen to what Jeremiah says about us. O Lord, I know that the way of a man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his own steps. O Lord, correct me, but with judgment, not in thy anger, lest thou bring me to nothing. We know that man is going to respond to his flesh and not to his spirit. And it's the spirit that guides you in all truth and teaches you all things of God and brings back to your remembrance everything that Jesus Christ has said of God. But of course, you have to receive that spirit in order to respond correctly to that spirit. So that's what Jeremiah is amplifying. And now let's go to Revelation chapter 20, and we're going to see how the New Testament comparison agrees with this in Revelation chapter 20, verse 12 through 14. Listen to what it says in Revelation chapter 20, verse 12 and 14, according to weighing this. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. My brothers and sisters, according to the works of the flesh and the works of the spirit, all is going to be looked at and reviewed, and we are going to be established because of that. Verse 13 continues, and it says, And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and the dead and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were all judged, every man according to their works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And what this is telling us is that the physical world of man is going to be destroyed. And do not let the physical world of man destroy the spiritual world of man. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that the ways are workings of the flesh, as Paul says and described it, adultery, theft, murder, hatred, wickedness. God will hold us responsible for them at the end of our physical life. And if it is critical, we will die in our sins. And that ends the lesson for this evening. And before we are dismissed, I would like to tell you that the host and I want to thank you for continuing to be with us and blessing us with your participation and encouragement. Good night.
Thank you for choosing Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, BIBLE. Hope you are blessed by our program. Please join us every Monday night at 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time for basic instructions before leaving Earth. B-I-B-L-E.